Am I on? Am I good? Higher, lower? Okay. This is on? We're good? There we go. We've got today's good morning.
Good morning.
To you by this
Sunday
guy.
Sunday morning.
For maybe some of you know who he is, maybe not. If you don't worry about it, it's fine. But it's nice to see everybody here this morning. And I'm glad you could be here with us for the end of our family camp, is what we're calling it now. So today we're finishing up the end of the weekend camp, which we explored the Greek word logos. I always said logos, but then yesterday Rick and Brian were saying logos. So that's the old looking letters are different, so they're probably right. Anyway, from John 1:1, and we were also looking at the derived term logos, English, plural of the singular logo, as in a company's logo. So let's take a look at John 1:1 once again. And I usually read NASB 1995, but this passage for some reason has become convoluted in the mainstream theological circuits. They try to force it into a mold that it doesn't actually fit in. And it's not my intention to discuss that here today. Although it was interesting that as we were preparing for this weekend, Jackie was working with the younger kids, I think like 4 to 8, I don't remember. And I was showing her how to kind of guide through AI, using it as a enhanced search engine, I suppose. And it's an AI. She was using, I think, Claude. So it's an LLM, a large language model. So Trinitarian being the standard, it's going to kind of lean that direction. But that's not what she was looking for. So then she prompted, I forget exactly what she asked. Let me see if she put it on there. No, she didn't put it on there. She was asking how Jesus related to the word logos, or what was the relation between the two. And then she forced it from a Unitarian perspective, and it said, from a Unitarian perspective, the logos, takes on a completely different meaning that actually supports rather than complicates Jesus' humanity. I thought it was kind of funny coming from the AI. But anyway, that's not my point today. So instead of the NASB 1995, this is the Revised English Version. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And what God was, the Word was. Or this is the one God, the Father, one man, Messiah translation, second edition. The author there says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully expressive of God himself. So as you ought to know by now, if you've been here for the weekend, we're looking at the word right there, the word. So we got word. That's what we're looking at right there. That's the Greek logos. So then we can look that up, run it through the concordance, and we end up with that Greek word that we saw just a few minutes ago. I didn't write down the Strong's number. I forgot. But it's transliterated logos. And its meaning is given as word, speech, message, account, reason, and doctrine. So that's the Greek logos. Our English word logo is related, and Timothy did touch on this Friday night, I believe. It's related in that it's an abbreviation of logotype, which, if we can trust Wikipedia, it comes from the ancient Greek logos, which we just looked at, and then terpos, which means mark, a mark or an imprint. So maybe something like a mark that carries a message. The Cambridge Dictionary Online gives this definition for logo or logotype. a small picture or design that a company or organization uses as its symbol. A company's logo is important for many reasons. A lot of times it's going to be the first impression that a consumer sees, and first impressions really do matter. A good logo can attract people. So here's the Cracker Barrel. I don't know if anyone's followed any of that story lately. While a bad logo has the potential to repel them. And I don't know if that story is all about the logo or not, but they changed their logo and then the stock kind of crashed. But anyway. And it's easy to remember the logo of a company that either you're fond of. It'll stand out in a busy marketplace, kind of begging for your loyalty. For returning consumers, a logo represents the company's value, the products they carry, that maybe the quality that the company offers, maybe even some of the past experiences you've had there. It can stir up memories of that kind of thing, maybe of your childhood or something. You guys don't have childhoods because you're still children. But this could be a good thing or a bad thing. It's kind of their reputation. Their reputation lies in their logo. And this is almost like this whole thought process is done almost in an instant. I'm sure there are some logos in here that you recognize and they instantly bring up memories or certain feelings of maybe good feelings, maybe bad feelings. But it does all this. It's got the recognition and trust. And it's all condensed in just to into a small little graphic. Grok tells me that, on average, a freelance designer might spend 10 to 20 hours on a small business logo, charging $300 to $2,000. And for major brands, I know Timothy also touched on this with, I think it was a Pepsi one, I don't remember what the cost was for that. But they'll put in hundreds of hours and charge tens of thousands to even hundreds of thousands of dollars. Because logos are useful, I mean, they don't want to just waste their money. I mean, there's a purpose to it. Excuse me. You want to have Jeremiah give me my water? Sorry. Thank you, sir. There we go. That's a little bit better. But the logos are useful because they allow for product placement. At home, we drink Fiji water. We don't really, but there is a story behind that, and maybe we'll touch on it later. But what product placement is it makes a, because of a logo, you can easily place it into a scene and give it a more natural feel to it. So it's a strategy where brands pay to have their products featured in media. When I was looking up the images, there were a lot of Stranger Things ones. So you see it in different types of media, movies, TV shows, even some video games, podcasts, have it a lot in live streams, that sort of thing. And it isn't your obvious, blatant, traditional commercial. The product that is slipped into the scene will, so that you naturally notice it, without a disruptive ad break. When you're watching old people TV, and this is kind of funny because we were talking about this after the campfire yesterday. So the stuff that comes in from the airwaves, or you buy the lower tier streaming service, it's got ads in it. What happens when an ad break comes on? What does anybody do? That's the time that we use the restroom, stretch out, have a snack or something. Almost anything instead of watching the ad, anything to not watch it. If you're on YouTube without an ad blocker and an ad pops up, you keep the cursor right there where you know the skip ad button is going to pop up. And as soon as you see it, You click it. Even Jeremiah knows to do this. If he's watching YouTube and an ad pops up, he's hitting the space bar ready to pause it just so he can save that extra millisecond of not watching the ad while he moves his cursor to the skip ad button. And that's it. Almost 60 years old, so people don't generally like to watch the traditional ads. Traditional ads don't always make it to the intended audience, because sometimes we really don't want to hear what they have to say, especially when they're rudely interrupting the program that I'm trying to watch. When a company gently and mostly seamlessly introduces us or reminds us of one of their products, we're much more likely to be accepting of it. And besides, if we see one of our favorite personalities or characters, whatever it is that we're watching, using a certain product, it may have little sway and push us that direction. It's like an endorsement from that person or character. I don't know why that had a space. That's from the Truman Show. So it's a forced ad, but the show is kind of about that. And that's actually why I have some Fiji water, because he's trying to go to Fiji. And I guess we have a little bit of time. So in the movie, well, spoiler alert, if you plan on watching it anytime soon, he's captivated in a show that he doesn't know he's in, and he's trying to... He wants to go to Fiji to get away from everything, but he's kind of forced into the show, and they have these little fake ad reads for the people watching it. But anytime he tries to leave, there's a reason he can't. He pulls out into the road, and everybody else pulls out. So that's actually why I have this. I don't usually buy Fiji water. It costs more, and it tastes like water still. But it's kind of become a term in our house when it seems like somebody's trying to work against you. Like, you're going down the road, there's nobody ahead of you, nobody behind you, and the car pulls out right in front of you, that kind of thing. Or you're at the grocery store looking at the cereal, there's nobody in there. All the aisles are empty. You go there, and then 10 people come looking at the same thing you're trying to look at. We call that being Fiji'd. Anyway, so that's the story behind that. That's why I actually have it. But anyway, so back to the product placement. This is how I learned of Celsius. From different podcasts. It's not a forced thing that they have it. They drink it once in a while. So it was something I thought, oh, what is that? I'll look into it. And then I wanted to try it. I actually have one here. Oh. I do drink it once in a while. Just because I saw it on some guy's podcast. And I know cyanide and everything, but it tastes good and it gives me energy. But just the way that products are placed, we as Christians ought to be displaying Christ as our brand in the same way, or in the way that we choose to live our lives. We are his living product placement. I mean, it's literally the title Christian, somebody who professes to believe or follow Christ. And that's Merriam-Webster. Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:20. He says, "So then we are ambassadors representing Messiah, as though God were making his appeal through us. We appeal to you on behalf of the Messiah, be reconciled to God." And that's from this translation. A lot of times you see Messiah in that translation, where maybe it would say Jesus or Christ in a different one. So an ambassador is somebody who represents the interests, character, and message of another. So Jesus is who we're talking about in our case. He is our brand. And what does this brand look like? I'm reminded of Matthew 22:36-30, which reads, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole being, your whole mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets hanging on these two commandments." I mean, the whole law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, sorry. And then Jesus says in John 13:35, This is how everyone will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. In this, I read that we should love our fellow Christians. We should have a love for each other. We're wearing the same logo. We're on the same team. But it doesn't stop here. In Luke 10, 25 through 37, it's got the account of the Good Samaritan. I'm not going to read it, but there's a picture that depicts it that I found on Google. And then here we might see that love is expanded to people outside of our immediate group, maybe even non-Christians. Then this is taken even farther if we go to Luke 6, 27 through 35, which says, "But I say to anyone who is listening, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. And who in this world doesn't fall in one of those three categories? A fellow Christian or somebody outside that group, and even your enemies. Who can you think of that you can't categorize in there?" And following this thought, we're drawn, because of love, into service. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom in place of many." We show the brand of Jesus when we serve out of love, whether it be helping to clean up after a church camp, a church event, or if you see your neighbor needing your help, or maybe even a stranger is in a time of need. So that's when we're called to serve. If we're talking about the character of our brand or what it looks like, we should probably remember the fruit of the Spirit. That's in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 25 read, "But the fruit of the Spirit produces the fruit the Spirit, sorry, but the fruit the Spirit produces is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Messiah Jesus," this translation again, "have crucified their flesh with its lusts and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we should also be guided by the Spirit." We are to live holy lives, like in Peter, 1 Peter 1. That's not the right spot. Vines. Oh, I didn't put it in there. Okay, that's fine. 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16, which says, "But like the Holy One who called you, become holy yourselves in all of your behavior. For it is written, 'You are to be holy because I am holy.'" Which, according to the Vines dictionary, it means separated from sin and therefore consecrated to God. These things ought to describe how we're acting, the things that we're doing in our lives. And this is how people should see us, the people who are around us, when they look at us. And this, of course, isn't an exhaustive list, but we have a Bible we can study to learn more. But it's a good start, at least. Since we are a living product placement representing Jesus, we ought to be sure that the brand is represented in all aspects of our life. Let's look at a car from NASCAR. And I know it isn't exactly product placement, but that's okay. It's close enough. These cars are, for the most part, littered with all sorts of logos from various companies based on sponsorship levels. And I don't watch NASCAR. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I'm going to rely on Grok. And they say, depending on the team popularity and which series they're going to be racing in, primary sponsorships run from 5 to 35 million for a full year, which is 38 races. And this includes prime logo spots. They list the hood, the rear quarter panels, TV panel, and the roof. I don't remember what the TV panel is. One of the things said what it was, but you can look that up later. It's not important, maybe. They also get control over the car's paint scheme. They get logos on the uniform and the equipment. They get driver appearances, pit passes, social media support. Then underneath that, there's an associate sponsorship, and it ranges from $250,000 to $5 million, and they include smaller logos that are less prominent, A few pit passes and some PR support. So you can see like the front quarter panels and stuff. Where you see the smaller logos, those are the lesser sponsors. There's also contingency or support sponsorships, and they range from $400 to $20,000, and that's per race, not per year. And it includes small decals on fenders or near wheels. And some of this is because certain companies either provide the fuel or they'll provide the tires, so they get to put their logo on there. And then there are also, for local businesses, micro sponsorships. And these are as low as a few thousand dollars per race and include a small logo on the car or a uniform patch and then limited fan engagement. But a couple of points that I wanted to bring out here. The first is that if you look at the picture, the cars are basically fully covered with their brands. From every camera angle, we see logos, very little empty space. And in the same way, I think that we should display our brand in every aspect of our lives. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do in word or action, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God who is the Father." And it says, whatever you do. So whether here at church, or maybe you're at school, at work, depending on your age group, hanging out with your friends, at the store, in traffic, don't ask Malachi about my patience while I'm driving. People are always Fijiing me every time. The logo, everywhere we are, the logo of Christ should be on display for people to see. And that brings me to another point, a NASCAR vehicle. I don't like saying NASCAR car because it just doesn't work. It's got multiple logos, with the biggest sponsor taking the prime advertising spots. And let's relate that to 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. And it says this, "Or do you not understand that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God? You are not your own, because you have been bought with a price. So glorify God with your body." And among many other places, we can see in 1 Peter 1:18-19, it says, "Knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." And here I was excited when Taco Bell offered me a free Baja Blast for my birthday. I got it. I took it to their house even. My dad tried it. I tried it. Malachi had some. Jeremiah had some. And that's worth nothing. And I know they're trying to bring me in to buy more stuff. But in all seriousness, it kind of shows the value that God places on us. And Carl's got a message about this from April 6th. If you're interested, you can go back and watch that. The stuff's on the website. And if you don't know how to do that, Timothy does, I'm assuming. I mean, what can we compare to the price Jesus paid for us? He deserves not only that primary sponsorship, but the whole car. He should be seen in our whole life. It says we are not our own. Just as companies use product placement to gently put their brands in front of people, Jesus should be placed in our lives so people can see him naturally through the way we're living. It's like we read in Matthew 5:14-16, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." In the same way that people tune out during a traditional ad, that's not an ad, that's good because I needed a drink. but the same way they tune out during a traditional ad, when we try to force Jesus down someone's throat or bop him in the head with a Jesus hammer, and while there may be a time for that, and traditional advertisements are alive and well, there is profit to that still. But in many cases, a softer approach may be a better option. People generally aren't interested in a random lecture, but they are interested in you and what you're doing. This is what makes product placement effective, the naturalness and the gentleness. I guess it's an authenticity. We aren't forcing it, and we aren't hiding it. We're living it, and this can create a curiosity within people, the people that are around us and watching us, and then they can approach on their own terms. It's like the difference between a good and a bad car salesman. One won't stop pestering until you finally leave out of frustration, but the other will let you look around at your own pace, but also make it known that he's there when you're ready, when you have questions, or when you're ready to make a decision. And this is kind of reflected in, at least in my opinion, 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "But honor the Lord Messiah as holy in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have. Do it with gentleness and respect. Be ready to answer, but when asked." So as we continue on with living our lives as this camp comes to a close, let's remember that people are watching us in every aspect of our lives, everywhere we are. Let's ask ourselves, are we really representing the brand in the ways that we ought to? Or what do people see being advertised from the way we live? Are we consistent through all aspects of our lives? Or are we like a Ford salesman that drives his Chevy to work? And Brian and Rick got in a battle at the campfire about that. I don't remember who was voting for who. But it's like a Ford salesman that drives his Chevy to work. Maybe he's not really convinced of the product that he's selling to other people. So are you convinced of the product that you're displaying? Being that you are a product placement for Jesus, and if someone were to shadow you over this past week, what conclusions would they make about who he is if you were their only source? 1 John 2:6 says, "The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." So, as his living as advertisements, let's be sure that our character aligns with his character. We're loving just as he loved. We're serving just as he served. We're reacting in the ways he would react, even in traffic. And let's be sure that our mission is the same as his, the truth, the grace, and the reconciliation. Jesus, as the Logos in John 1:14, was God's logo or his message to the rest of mankind. Now we have become logos for Christ to those whose paths we cross. That story of love, sacrifice, and redemptive hope should emanate from our actions and the way that we live our lives and shine into the lives of the people that are around us. And that's what we have for today. For a closing song, we're going to have the